is episode number 3 of Sleep Whispers. I'm Harris, and this is a podcast of whispered ramblings and whispered readings that may be helpful to you if you have problems falling asleep. On this episode, the curious quote is going to be about what to do when you run into a problem. And for the meta chat, I'm going to be talking about thoughts I have about the last fade out I did. And I'm also going to be sharing my first emails I've received and my first comments I've received. The sleep tip is going to be about creating a bedtime ritual. And then the fade out is going to be a 2-character play. And each character is going to be in each of the right and left microphones. All right, starting off with the curious quote. So, this is where I read and chat about a quote that I collected a long time ago because it had some deep meaning to me. And the quote for tonight is, "If one way doesn't work, switch quickly to another one." And the quote is by Marvin Minsky. I collected that quote. I actually have the exact source this time, because sometimes I was good at writing it down and sometimes I wasn't. So this is from page 20 in the book, No Ordinary Genius. And when Marvin Minsky wrote that statement, he was describing characteristics about geniuses. And the book itself was about a physicist, Richard Feynman, who is a really often described, I guess, as a curious character. Like, he's the ultimate, like, nerd, because he's got a Nobel Prize. But he's also so quirky and curious and kind of cool in some ways. So there's lots of books about the funny stuff he did. So the quote, let's see, let me read it again. If one way does not work, switch quickly to another one. And I didn't realize until I was writing that down for this podcast, but now when I look at that quote, I realize it's just the opposite of that well-known statement about insanity is doing the same thing again and again and expecting a different result. So I just realized that this is just saying that same thing in a different way. So it just basically is, don't get stuck, because it can be easier to give up rather than to continue in business. I think the hot term is pivoting. So like if your company or your product isn't doing well, then you pivot. So whether it's about, you know, not getting stuck, or it's about pivoting, it's all about having persistence. And so I think what I really want to say about this quote is how I've developed my own visual over time that goes with this quote. And I visualize a river. It's so whenever I like have a challenge and it's not, you know, working out with the way I'm trying it, but I visualize what a river does. And so here's the visual I have is like you're trying to do something, and then all of a sudden a big rock, like a huge boulder, just is like dropped in your path. So I imagine that boulder is like dropped into a small river, and I visualize what the river does. And the river, or a river, just ignores the boulder and it goes right around it. And I think that's, I want to say smart or logical, but as a human, when a boulder gets in my way, it's usually very discouraging. And sometimes I just want to, you know, give up with, you know, whatever this even small challenge might be, because it's often easier to do nothing than to do something. But then I visualize the river, and the river doesn't get discouraged. And that's the concept of a river, is it's always flowing. It's always finding a way around barriers. That's like the definition of a river, because if it stopped flowing, it wouldn't be a river anymore. And then the other thing a river does is it actually doesn't ignore the boulder. It slowly still deals with the boulder. And over time, it will actually it may, you know, kind of either push that boulder along and move it out of the way, or just slowly erode it. And so sometimes it can be good to do two things, which is to first find another way to fix whatever problem you're trying to deal with. You know, so do what the river would do first. But sometimes you can't just ignore the problem. And so you still may need to find some solution to the problem. So anyway, I guess that's what I wanted to share. And it's not so much the quote, but the concept behind the quote and the visual of the river. So I guess I'll if you have any thoughts about that quote or about any ideas and philosophies you have of how you deal with challenges, then here's the three ways you can share your thoughts with me. You can email me at sleepwhispers@gmail.com. You can go to the website sleepwhispers.com and use the contact form. And then what might be the easiest is in the show notes for this episode. There should be some words that say, click here to comment. Then I think that should open up a comment page. Alright, now on to the meta chat. This is where I chat about something to do with the podcast, like feedback from you, updates from me, or other stuff. Tonight is going to be it's just a basic question about my last fade out that I'm going to share my first emails and comments. I'm curious to know which reading style that you preferred for the two styles I did in the last Whisperpedia reading. I read the first part in a non-stop style, just continuous reading, and then I did the rest where I read it silently and then I summarized it. So I'm curious to know which way you preferred. So if you could let me know, then I'll know which way to do it when I do more readings in the future. So do you like the continuous whisper reading? Or do you like the when I read it silently and then summarize it? So just let me know. Alright, I've received my first emails and comments, and so I'm gonna share them with you and thank the people that shared some feedback, because it's very helpful. And one of the feedback that I'll mention soon mentioned they like the left to right whispering, so I'm gonna read the feedback as into each microphone. So here is the very first email I received, and thank you, David. It was very exciting when I saw my first email pop up, and here's what David shared. Finally, found your website. Just want to say, I really liked the first episode of your podcast. I've used it a couple times this week since I first downloaded it to help me sleep. I especially like that it is long. An hour is right in the sweet spot. I hope to hear more episodes. Oh, and by the way, I agree about the whispering fish. Funny. So that was good to know from David. likes the fact that it's an hour long, because I never really made a decision as to how long I was going to make each episode. They've just happened to be a little over an hour each so far, and maybe they would have ended up being shorter without knowing that, you know, at least one person likes that they're an hour long. So I'm gonna work at it, but my goal is to make each episode at least an hour. And thank you to Eric for also sending an email. This is what Eric shared. I love the new podcast. The format is great, and I can't wait for more episodes. You definitely have a fan here. Oh, thanks, Eric. What was helpful about your feedback is knowing you like the format. The format was something I did put a lot of thought into, because I did want a certain structure to it, and I wanted it to be a blend of interesting and helpful. And it sounds like that format is working for you, so that's great to hear. Thank you. And I received a comment to episode 1 from Rose. And here is Rose's comment. Love the variation in left to right whispering. Binaural sounds are a huge trigger for me, and I think for the ASMR community as a whole. Note the amount of ear-to-ear whispering videos on YouTube. Rose, your feedback was very encouraging, because I mostly forgotten to kind of do the left-to-right whispering. So I think if I'd gotten your feedback, if I hadn't gotten your feedback, I probably wouldn't be doing this left to right whispering right now. So it's something that I'm gonna try to remember and incorporate and do more in the podcast in the future. The fade out for today is going to have lots of left-to-right whispering. So, I hope you enjoy that, Rose. And I received a comment on episode 2 from Jack. And Jack said, great podcast. I've been looking for one with a format like this. I'll be subscribing. Thanks, Jack. It's, again, great to know that a lot of you, well, two of you so far, have shared that you like this format. So I'm gonna stick to it then. I also received my first review in my first iTunes review. I think you can only see it in the US iTunes store. So if you're not in the US, you may not be able to see the review in the iTunes store. So I'll tell you basically what my first and only iTunes review says, it was not good. I got a 1-star rating, and the person basically said that they thought the podcast was creepy and not relaxing. And I was an M, bummed out by that review, but I'm definitely not upset or angry with the person, or don't think the person should not have left that review. I think that whispering and whether or not you like to hear someone whisper is very subjective. Like, I don't think everyone would enjoy a podcast of someone whispering. So I do actually think their feedback is helpful to others. I don't think people should expect that if they've never heard, someone whisper in a recording to them, that they're going to love it. I think some will like whispering and some won't like whispering. I think my only concern is that my iTunes reviews are not very balanced. I think I would prefer, I would prefer to have more balanced perspective of people who do like it, to balance those that don't like it, because that would set up the most realistic expectation for people. Because if they're all just, 1-star, then no one's even going to try this podcast or other whisper podcasts. And that'd be a shame, because they can be helpful for some people. So just one small request would be that if you could put a review on iTunes of this podcast, then I think that would be a better balance of opinions. And if you're not sure how to do that, I think it's easy if you're on, or if you have, an iPhone or an iPad. You just open up the Apple podcast app and you search for the podcast, and then you tap the word reviews, and then you tap the words write a review. On a computer or laptop or on a desktop computer or a laptop computer, I think you would have to go to the iTunes store. So you might have to have iTunes, the software program iTunes, loaded onto your computer, so you could do it that way. And for Android, I have no idea. I don't know how you would write a review of a podcast in iTunes on an Android device. So if anyone figures that out or knows how to do that, then let me know and I'll share it with everyone else. If you do that, then is to create a bedtime ritual. And here's what they have to say. It is like 4 sentences. So what I'll do is I'll read each sentence in a different microphone. Do the same things each night to tell your body it's time to wind down. This might include taking a warm bath or shower, reading a book, or listening to soothing music, preferably with the lights dimmed. Relaxing activities can promote better sleep by easing the transition between wakefulness and drowsiness. Be wary of using the TV or other electronic devices as part of your bedtime ritual. Some research suggests that screen time or other media use before bedtime interferes with sleep. Alright, then I'd like to chat through their feedback. So their first statement was about doing the same thing each night. I think I'm pretty good. I can't recall that I have a clear system, but I don't feel I do something different every night. But I think what the Mayo Clinic would be saying to me right now is, well, if you're unsure, then you should make sure you do have a clear system. I kind of do, but I feel it's bad because of their later advice in here about not using a screen. So I tend to play around on my iPhone when I go to bed. So I think I'm just hesitating to admit that right now. So let me restate that. Okay, yes, I do have a ritual, and it's usually getting into bed and then goofing around on my iPhone. Alright, I admitted it. And now I know what the Mayo Clinic would say to that. Stop doing that. Alright, let's see what they do recommend. So their suggestions included taking a warm bath or shower. I don't do that. I am a morning shower person. But I think that's good advice because I have at some time, you know, I have before taken a shower before bed or before taking a nap or something, and it does feel very relaxing. So maybe that's something I could try. Maybe showering at night is something that would be helpful. I don't take baths. I think that I always picture someone in the like 1500s taking a bath, but I'm sure there's plenty of people that still take baths. They also recommend reading a book. I used to read a book or magazine every night before I went to sleep. But that was before the App Store came out. So, yikes. So that was a while ago. I used to do that. I should start doing that again, because it was also a great way to learn about stuff. And then they also suggest soothing music. And I have done that, like, occasionally. Sometimes I'm just in the mood for music. And I have this, it's a flat speaker that I just slide under my pillow. And sometimes I just put on some music and fall asleep to that. But it's not part of my nightly ritual. And then one of their other major points is not to use a TV or any other electronic devices. Yikes, I'm in trouble. And they mention how some research shows that it interferes with sleep. I have read a little bit about that before and heard it's about the blue light and how it messes up melatonin in your brain. So it's bad that I even know about that and I still do it. Alright, so I'm gonna try maybe switching back to reading a book or a magazine. I'm not convincing myself that I'm gonna try so hard. I can hear it in my tone. I feel like I'm saying it because I know I should be saying it, because it's the smart thing to do. But it's hard. Alright, that's something I need to have better willpower about. I don't know what's going to create that willpower. Alright, maybe I need to just give myself a challenge. We'll have to see. I'll let you know if next time how I did. Alright, so if you have anything you want to share about your bedtime ritual, just go ahead and let me know. And now it's time for the tuck-in. And this is where you can pause this podcast to get yourself to, I guess, do whatever your bedtime ritual is. If you haven't done it already, then this is a good time to pause this from playing and do the things you need to do, because the last part of this episode is going to be the fade out, and that's where I'm going to do my best to help you to fall asleep. So go ahead and go put on your pajamas, brush your teeth, take a bath if you take baths, have a nice warm shower, go to the bathroom if you haven't already, if you have any lights on in your room, then turn them off or dim them. But, I mean, if you can, probably off is the best choice. If you're goofing around on your mobile device, then it's time to put that aside and turn the screen off and just listen to the audio for the rest of this podcast. Get snug in your bed. Get all your sheets adjusted so your feet aren't sticking out and you're properly wrapped up like a nice, comfortable taco. And finally, this is where you shift your mind off and you're going to focus just on the fade out. Replace any of the day's stressful thoughts with the words I'm speaking in the fade out. And now on to helping you to fall asleep. Tonight's fade out is going to be a 2-character play. So, there's a male character, and there's a female character, and I'm going to speak each of the characters into each of the microphones. So I think the female character is going to be into the right microphone, and the male character is going to be in the left microphone. I'm not going to do voices or anything like that, so it's just going to be the same. I'm going to use the same voice for both characters. The title of the play is The Open Door by Alfred Sutro. It was written in 1922. So, there may be a lot of old-timey stuff in the play. The male character is Sir Geoffrey Transome, and the female character is Lady Torminster. The play starts off with a description of the setting. Here is what it says. The drawing room of Lord Torminster's cottage by the sea. It is 2 a.m. in the morning of a fine July night. The French windows are open onto the lawn. The room is dark. In an armchair, Sir Geoffrey Transome, a man of 40 years old, with a frank, pleasant face, is seated deep in thought. Suddenly the door opens, and Lady Torminster appears and switches on the light. She is startled at seeing Sir Geoffrey. Sir Geoffrey rises. Hello. Don't be afraid. It's only I. What a startle you gave me. Why haven't you gone to bed? I'm tired of going to bed. One always has to get up again. It becomes monotonous. Why haven't you gone to sleep? I don't know. It's too hot or something. I've come for a book. Here, let me choose one for you. He goes to the table. Why were you sitting in the dark? Because the lights annoyed me. What sort of book will you have? A red one or a green one? Is there a virtue in the color of the binding? Why not? all the same inside. There are 300 ways, they say, of cooking a potato. There are as many of dressing up a lie and calling it a novel. But it's always the same old lie. Here, take this. He hands her a book. Popular Astronomy. That will surely send you to sleep. Oh, the stars frighten me. But I'll try it. Good night. Good night. And you had really better be going to bed. I move as an amendment that you sit down and talk. At this time of night, why not? It's day in the Antipodes. And in this attire. Oh, Pooh, you are more dressed than you were at dinner. That's awfully rude, isn't it? But then you see, you're not my hostess now. You're a spirit walking in the night. One can't be polite to spirits. Sit down and let us converse. I don't know. The household have all retired. And we'll make this concession to Miss Grundy. We will leave the door open. There. He flings it open. The open door. Centuries ago, when I was alive, I remember paragraphs with that heading. So you're not alive now. Sir Geoffrey Transome ceased to be when he said goodnight to Lady Torminster. Sir Geoffrey is upstairs asleep. So is her ladyship. We are their souls now. Let us talk. You are in a whimsical mood. And you are in your wrapper. Or your tea gown. It doesn't matter what you call it. You look jolly. No, that's a ridiculous word. I don't mean that at all. You look you. More you than I've seen you for years. Don't interrupt. Shades never do that. By the way, do you know that the old lumber room, my owner, my corporeal sheath, means to go away in the morning before you are up? Sir Geoffrey, what nonsense. You promised to stay a month. I assure you that I've been charged to invent fitting and appropriate lies to account for the ridiculous creature's abrupt departure. The man Transome is a poor liar. You are making me giddy. Would you mind putting on your body? I've not been introduced to your soul. Sir Geoffrey springs up with a flourish. How very remiss of me. Permit me. Gertrude, this is Geoffrey. You've often heard me speak of him. Lady Torminster rises. I think I'll go to bed. Now that is preposterous. Jack, my dear old friend, the best and only friend I have in the world, is slumbering peacefully upstairs, and Jack's wife is reluctant to talk to Jack's old pal, because the sun happens to be hidden on the other side of the globe. Lady Torminster, sit down. If you're good, you shall have a cigarette. Lady Torminster sits. Well, just one. And when I've finished it, I'll go. Agreed. He hands her the box. She takes a cigarette. He strikes a match and holds it to her. He then takes a cigarette himself and lights it. And while smoking it, remember Penelope's web, for I've heaps of things to tell you. They'll keep until tomorrow. That's a fearful delusion. Nothing keeps. There is one law in the universe. Now, I want to know what you mean by this nonsense about your going. Sir Geoffrey puffs out smoke. Yes, I'm off in the morning. It has occurred to me that I haven't been to China. Now that is a serious omission. How can I face my forefathers and confess to them I haven't seen the land where labor comes from? China has waited a long time. A month more or less will make no difference. They are patient. There is gypsy blood in my veins. I must wander. I'm restless. Not like Jack. He's untroubled. He can sleep. Jack's a fine sleeper, isn't he? Yes. Calm. Serene. Untroubled. With the conscience of a babe. One. Sleeps. He and I have had some rare times together. I've been roped to him on the Andes. He shot a tiger that was about to scrunch me. I rubbed his nose when it was frostbitten. He saved my life. I saved his nose. I always maintain that the balance of gratitude is on his side. From where would he have been without his nose? You are absurd. Would you have married him without a nose? I might have. Now you know you wouldn't. You'd have been afraid of what people would say. And what would he have done when he became short-sighted and had to wear glasses? My cigarette has gone out. Sir Geoffrey, answer the box. Take another. Never relight a cigarette. It's like dragging up the past. Here. I said only one. This is not the hour for inflexibility. The Medes and the Persians have all gone to bed. She takes the cigarette. He lights it for her. Tell me why you mean to leave us. And remember, I shan't let this one go out. my explanation will be handed to you with your cup of tea in the morning, and you will be gone. I shall be gone. There is a train at 7:45, which will be packed with husbands. I shall breakfast in town. Why? Well, one must breakfast somewhere. It's a convention. Sir Geoffrey, I want you to tell me what this means. Give your decision, said the judge to the arbitrator, but never your reasons. I go because I go. Besides, as one reasons, why do people die, or get married, or buy umbrellas? Because of typhoid, love, or the rain? Not at all. Isn't that so? I wish you'd be serious. I'm fearfully serious. When Jack shot that tiger, he had to go so near the brute that he held his life in his hands. Do you know what was my chief impression as I lay there with the ugly cat's paw upon my chest, beginning to rip me? Horrible, what? I resented his having eaten something that smelt like onions. A tiger. Onions may have been his undoing. That's the beggar's skin on the floor. But you should have seen me rub Jack's nose. Sir Geoffrey, there's very little cigarette left. There are lots more in the box, and dawn is a long way off. Hang it, Lady Dorminster, don't be in a hurry. Do you hear the sea out there? It's breathing as regularly as old Jack. And don't you think this is fine? Here we are, we two, meeting just as we shall meet on the other side of the Never Never Land. It's a chance for a man to speak to a woman and tell her things. What things? That's just it. What things? What have I to say after all? I'm going tomorrow. Because I'm a fantastic, capricious man. Also, because I'm lonely. How will China help you? They color it green on the map, and there's such a lot of it. You should get married. You say that, you. Sir Geoffrey starts back, ashamed, and hangs his head. Lady Dorminster throws a quick glance at him, then looks ahead of her, puffing quietly at her cigarette. So, that is why you are going. Now that is really fine of you. Every other woman in the world would have seized that chance for a melodramatic exit. Good night, Sir Geoffrey. I must go to my husband. Good night, Lady Dorminster. A clasp of the hand. A hot tear. Mine. On your wrist. sit there. That's splendid. I ask you again, is that truly why you are going? Well, yes, that's the fact. I apologize humbly. It's so conventional, isn't it? I suppose it's difficult for human beings to invent new situations. You've known it, of course, all the time. You've known it ever since Jack brought me to you the day after you were engaged. And that's 9 years ago. It's the usual kind of fatality. These things happen. Yes. Well, I thought I was cured. I've been here 5 days, and I find I'm not. So I go. That's best, isn't it? Yes. It's so stupid. You're a beautiful woman, of course. But there are heaps of beautiful women. You have qualities. So have other women, too. I'm only 41. And as you say, why don't I marry? Well, simply because of you. Because you have an uncomfortable knack of intruding between me and the other lady. That is a great misfortune. It's most annoying. So, I shall try China. I shall come back in 2 years. I shall be 43 then. I shall come back sound as a bell. And I shall marry some healthy, pink-cheeked young woman. Take a house next to yours. And in the fullness of time, your eldest son shall fall in love with my daughter. All right, why not? I shouldn't have told you, of course. But I'm glad that I have. It clears the air. Now what excuse shall I make? A wire from town. Jack knows all about my affairs. In fact, that's why I take the early train, to avoid his questions. You find it impossible to stay out your time here. Quite. There are moments when I am unpleasantly volcanic. Then I tell you the best thing to do. Don't take your trunks. Just go up with a bag. Leave a note that you'll come back on Tuesday. Then write from town and say you are prevented. That's a good idea. Yes. That's much better. And if you find that you really cannot come back. Exactly. You'll forward my goods and chattels, and old Jack will ascribe it all to my wayward mood. He'll think I have found it too dull down here. I am immensely obliged. Remark that I've not offered to be a sister to you. You've been superb. Oh, the good talk we've had. Do you know, I could almost wish old Jack to have heard what I said. I'm so fond of him, that grand old fellow, that I've been on the point of telling him myself more than once. For you know he will have me take you about, and it's painful. Besides, I felt it almost disloyal to keep this from him. You understand, don't you? Yes. He and I are one, you see. It's not British to show any feelings, but really, I love him. And the devil comes along. And of all women in the world, singles out Jack's wife and fills my heart with her. That's the devil's sense of humor. All right, I'm going to pause the reading of the play there, because the reading still goes on for quite a bit. Hopefully you are asleep right now. Or maybe you are very close, and now you're just going to maybe remove your headphones or turn on your side and go to sleep.